My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we sang in our first hymn in verse 4, requesting that God should take from our lives all the stress and strain that we experience, and that was what I was going to talk a little bit about this morning, was worry, why we worry and why we shouldn't worry. I bet you think I'm a real idle person when I tell you that I didn't do much at all last year. I just sat for a long time in front of the television. And one of the programs that I watched, going back to what we were talking about this morning, was from some clever biologists who were researching the sounds that birds and other animals made. And they reckoned they'd discovered what they were doing, communicating to each other. You've probably heard a lot about it yourself. Whales and dolphins make high-pitched squeaky noises, and that's supposed to be the way they communicate with each other. Well, that could well be. And then we have the birds. When the sparrows chatter to each other, they're actually talking to one another. And when the magpies and so forth are making the crowing noises that they do, they're communicating with one another. And these people have gone further and saying they can understand what the birds are saying, even to the extent that a certain noise means you're actually speaking to a person. It's like we would say to our neighbours, good morning Jim, nice day. And then Jim would answer and say, yes Alan, it's nice isn't it, let's be out and about. But personally I don't really believe that they can communicate in that sense. So I went to a book which I had, and it's called Lessons for Us from the Birds, and it was written by a reverend gentleman who'd retired, of course, and he'd taken words, say, the Lord Jesus Christ said about birds and so forth, and he put them into a context for us to gain a lesson from. And there was one little ditty which went along with it. The book is called The Birds Our Teachers, and you might have heard this little poem before. It won't take long, but it goes, said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. Now, I don't think birds could talk like that, and I don't think it's true that they would observe how we live, that they would analyse what we're doing, and that they would be able to express a conclusion about what they see. Birds don't talk to one another, as that poem suggests. They don't have minds to understand that there's a great creator which provides for all his creatures. But we, with our minds, can understand that, that God is the great creator and that he's the great provider. Am I speaking suitably? Because I had a little bit of a complaint this morning that I wasn't actually speaking loud enough. Right towards me a bit more. How's that? Right. But I think you can see the sentiment which is expressed in that little poem, but I can't believe that it is true, because they don't observe us, they don't analyse what we're doing, and they don't come to any conclusion that we're faithless, that we don't believe that we have a Heavenly Father who cares like he does for all his creatures. Psalm 104 is a good example. Without looking it up, we're told that God provides for all his creatures. They've got to wait for God to open his hand to give them what they need, and then they've got to go and gather it. They haven't to expect that God will actually put the food in their mouth. And we get a lot of teaching of Jesus which deals with matters like this. I did this little talk some time ago when we were reading Matthew, but now that we're in Luke, I'm going to take the references from Luke. And the first one is Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? that even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for ye are more value than many sparrows. And then if we look further into Luke chapter 12, from verse 22 to 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? These sayings of Jesus, of course, follow on from the parable of the rich fool, which is just a little bit earlier in Luke chapter 12. And we'll read there from verse 16. Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to myself, self, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy life shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. So Jesus spoke that parable in response to the man who'd come to ask him to judge a matter about his inheritance. As we read in verse 13 of Luke 12, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he spoke the parable. So Jesus is telling us that we shouldn't be covetous, basically. That's the teaching which we get from there. And when we read about God feeding his creatures, they've got to gather what God has provided. Likewise, we're not just to sit back and expect that God will put the food into our mouths. We've got to do a little bit in order that we should live. He's provided the seed for us, the materials that we need to eat, but we've got to do the ploughing, the sowing, and the reaping. We mentioned perhaps what the Psalms tell us. Psalm 147 tells that God gives food to the beasts and the young ravens that cry. But then in Psalm 104, we read that God gives the food and the beasts have got to gather it. This is the time of the year, of course, talking a little bit apart from birds, but the other animals, this time of the year, will be very busy. Squirrels, we know they gather their nuts and store them for the hard times that will come in the winter. And then the ants are always commended for the busy way in which they work all the year round. And we're told in Proverbs chapter 6 that we should consider the ant and we should be busy like them. And then there's a contrast given about the lazy man in Proverbs chapter 20. If he doesn't plough, then he can't sow. And then when the winter time comes, there'll be no harvest for him. So he has to beg from other people if he won't work. So we're encouraged to be like the ant, busy to provide and accept what God has given us. In Luke chapter 9, we have the warning that when we put our hand to the plough, we shouldn't look back. Luke chapter 9 and verse 26. We're told, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In a practical sense, I don't know if there's any farmers here, but I know they have ploughing competitions in various places during the year. And if you don't plough a straight furrow, as they say, you make the field look a real mess. So the warning there is, in a practical sense, don't look back. You've got to keep your plough going in a straight line. And it's like that in the kingdom of God. When we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no good as looking back and thinking, I don't want to do this, I'm not going forward. You've got to keep going on that straight line. Now, there are we can't do what some other creatures do that God has wonderfully made. And amongst the birds, the owl is a wonderful creature. I got an article out of the Testimony magazine a few months ago. It's all about the owl, unique and perfect design. I don't know if any of you have read it. But apparently the owl has a peculiar mechanism in its neck so that it can turn round actually 270 degrees in one movement. So that one minute it can be looking forward, hears a sound rustling and it thinks, oh, there might be something there to eat. So it flips its head round so quickly that almost instantaneously it's looking forward and then it's looking back. But as human beings, we haven't got that mechanism. I can hardly do 90 degrees with my neck, and probably the same for most of you. But that's a wonderful thing about the owl. It looks backwards and it looks forward almost at the same moment. And that's what we do when we come to our breaking of bread. In our thoughts, we look backwards to the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us, and then we're looking forward to the time when he'll come again and do other wonderful things for us. And God, he's the one who provides the Saviour, like he provides for us all our daily needs. It's in Isaiah 59 that we read, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. So it was God's purpose that a Saviour, Jesus, should be brought into the world. And he brought that about in a wonderful way. So as God provides for his creatures, although they also must do their part, so God has provided the true bread for us, which came down from heaven. We've got to do our part as well and believe and do what Jesus asked of us. So the message comes for us that we shouldn't worry over much about the present time, because we're told again in verse 32 of Luke chapter 12 that it's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom.